What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of The Spread, Nesson.com's football picks podcast. I'm Ricky Doyle, joined as always by Andre Cacciatorian. Andre, we're running a little bit of a different offense today. I guess we're going with a single back set because we're down a man.
We are. Mike Cole, our usual, you know, quarterback, I guess. He'll usually start the show and lead the way. He is a father.
Yeah. So don't be alarmed. It is for good reason that he is not on the show this week. Hopefully this whole show doesn't turn into like the Denver Broncos running the quarterbackless offense a few weeks ago against the New Orleans Saints. But I have faith in our ability. We've been through this before, just you and I. So I have faith in our ability to tread water, at least until he comes back. When I don't know when that's going to be. It could be Super Bowl week. Maybe he won't come back. We don't know at this point, but certainly congratulations to Mike on baby Teddy.
Baby Teddy, Theodore Cole. And Ricky, we should also add that, you know, we've always been around for Mike's special life events. They always seem to happen in the fall. We celebrated his bachelor party when he was gone. We celebrated his wedding when he was gone. It was just you and me running the show.
Yep.
And then what else? There was, it had to have been one more.
We do the annual birthday bash. We like to,
that's right.
We bring our baked goods, assorted baked goods and whatnot.
And then now his baby. So all of Mike's big life events happen in the fall.
This is consider this the baby shower edition.
Baby shower edition of the
Spread. Little Jack and Jill. We'll power through. We got six games we're gonna get to this week. Usually we do our three biggest games of the week, locks and upsets, but obviously we're in playoff mode now. We got a super wild card weekend. Six games, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. So we'll breeze through all six, probably spend a little less time than usual on each game, which is probably a good thing for all the folks at home. You don't have to listen to us as much as usual, but I don't know. Any takeaways from the regular season that you want to get to first? I guess we should get to the records first and foremost. Yeah. See how we did.
Sure. Yeah. I'll go through the records real quick. Ricky, last week you finished 8-7-1. I went 7-8-1 and Mike was 6-9-1. Which means the final regular season standings. Ricky, you are the champion. You win by seven games, 124, 123, and seven. That might actually have a couple more pushes, but you finished above 500. That was pretty remarkable based on how all of us started this season, which was, you know, we were not good this season. And that, saying what's the takeaway from the season, I wonder how different the season would have been with fans. Like you have teams like Seattle and New Orleans usually who thrive in those, you know, home settings. And especially now we head to the playoffs, both of those teams have home playoff games. I wonder how it's going to impact them. You know, Seattle and New Orleans, both of those teams, that big home field advantage. And even guys like Cam Newton said they would have performed differently if they had a crowd. So, but other than that, it felt normal. Every Sunday felt normal. You toss on Red Zone, you got the games on. It was the most normal from the other four sports in terms of them coming back, for me at least.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. And I'm glad you brought that up about the home field advantage, because obviously it is going to be interesting to see if there's a, you know, if there's more of an impact there with it, you know, now that we're into the playoffs and generally home field advantage, you know, means a little bit more, you would think, but this is something to keep in mind. This is courtesy of CBS Sports. Since the start of the 2017 season, home teams are actually just 1-11 against the spread during the opening round of the playoffs and 4-8 straight up, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Considering that every single one of those home teams was favored as well. So, if you're thinking about just blindly laying the points on the home teams this weekend, we'll get into it matchup by matchup, but yeah, you want to think twice. I don't know.
Right.
Just to add a little angst to your picks before going into this. But we will start off Saturday because that makes sense chronologically, obviously. And we will start off with the 105 game featuring the Colts traveling to Orchard Park to face the Bills. The Bills just steamrolling everyone right now. It was a pretty shocking result against Miami. I thought Miami would put up a little bit more of a fight in that season finale, get a havoc game. Did not. Bills rolling offensively. enter this game 6.5-point favorites. The total set at 52. Which way are you leaning in this one, Andre?
I was actually just really surprised right now to see that the Buffalo Bills had the best record in the NFL against the spread this season, which is surprising because we all knew they were a good team coming into the season, and they basically outperformed those good team predictions. They're one of the best teams in the league, especially as of late. They really demolished everybody over the last 5 weeks or so. And their average margin of victory over the last 6 weeks actually is 19.8 points. And their losses against the Titans were, you know, pretty solid team. The Chiefs were the best team in the NFL. And that Hail Mary game, which you can call it a fluke at this point, with Arizona not even making the playoffs. Since that Hail Mary game, they beat Pittsburgh and Miami, and they crushed Miami last week by 30 points. And even their games against crappy teams, there were blowout road wins at San Francisco, at Denver, and at New England. And, you know, those aren't easy outs. Those are three pretty good non-playoff teams. They're not Jacksonville, you know? So I really like the Bills in this one. The Buffalo doesn't rely on their run game. They're a passing team, and the Colts' pass defense hasn't been that great. They're 19th in yards per pass attempt allowed. Yards allowed per pass attempt, 19th. So I think the Bills are going to exploit that. You know, you look at the Colts' biggest strength offensively, it has to be Jonathan Taylor lately. 7 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks, averaging nearly 7 yards per carry. He's doing great, but those all against some really bad teams. Houston twice, Vegas, and Jacksonville. So Buffalo's rush defense isn't that great, but I don't think Indy's rush attack is enough to do anything against Buffalo. Especially, I think Buffalo's going to open up a big lead at home. They're going to have fans, too. It's going to be great for the Bills.
Yeah, what?
The Bills Mafia in the building.
Roughly 7,000 of them will be there, which, you know, 7,000 members of the Bills Mafia is better than none. No, but I'm with you. I think, you know, and the first thing I thought of when you're talking about the Bills' strength of schedule is the Colts' lack of strength of schedule, I guess, and you sort of alluded to that. The Colts, since week 6, they've played 11 games in which they've gone 8-3. So, I mean, they've taken care of business, but just 3 of those games have come against defenses not ranked in the bottom 6 in terms of defensive DVOA. Those 3 games, they lost to the Ravens 24-10. They beat the Packers, which is a good win, in overtime. And then week 16, that loss to the Steelers, which almost prevented them from making the playoffs. I mean, that was a telling game to me. I mean, it felt like that sort of showed that this team might be missing a little something, you know, whether it's intestinal fortitude or just the ability to rise to the moment. I don't know, but sure. You know, Indy's beating up on these bad teams. You mentioned the Bengals, Lions, the Titans, who've had a bad defense twice. They've played the Texans twice, the Raiders, Jaguars are terrible. So, you know, they can move the ball against those teams. It's going to be they'll face a little bit more resistance this week. And ultimately, I just think that I think Buffalo is going to be able to get out to a lead here, in which case, you know, Indy wants to rely on that run game, but I'm just not sure they're going to be able to do it. And the Colts 24th in opponent first half points per game, the Bills second. So, you know, if Buffalo gets out early and Indianapolis has to throw the ball, I don't like their chances to get back into it. Obviously Josh Allen playing at an extremely high level right now, so it's just a significant quarterback advantage. John Brown's return obviously boosts that offense. We'll see what happens if Cole Beasley plays, but Isaiah McKenzie was a nice little find in that week 17 win. Buffalo's defense gotten healthier. Their linebacking core was a little banged up a few weeks ago, but Tremaine Edmonds is back. Matt Milano's back. So I just think this Bills team, you know, maybe at some point they run into, they're going to have to show what they're made of against the Chiefs probably at some point or whatever. But I think they roll for another week here. Honestly, I don't know if this game's going to be particularly close. I don't mind laying at least a touchdown on this one.
I agree with you. Especially you get that Phillip Rivers factor as well. Career 5-6 in the playoffs, 14 touchdowns, 10 interceptions with an 84 passer rating. So, you know, he is what he is at this point, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move right along here. We'll go to the we'll flip over to the NFC with a matchup that I feel like we've talked about, you know, seven times in the last 8 weeks. It certainly feels like, at least. The Rams traveling to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Seahawks 4.5-point favorites, total set at 43. This is a tough one to peg, obviously, given the quarterback uncertainty for the Rams, which what a letdown that week 17 game was, when you have John Wolford on one side and a CFL quarterback on the other. Like,
Streveler.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that could have been such a cooler game than it was. Instead, it was a slop fest that goes in the Rams' favor. But whatever, the Rams, they got in. Now they face a Seattle team, which has had its ebbs and flows this season. So I don't know which way you're leaning here. But
just to touch on that Week 17 game, too, it's just, it would have been so much better for the NFL if the Cardinals won that game, too, because do we really want the Bears in the playoffs? We'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
But the Kyler Murray having the Cardinals there, DeAndre Hopkins, it would have just been a better product, I guess. But I think this is, I don't know who's going to win this game.
I should mention, by the way, that I was all over the Rams making the playoffs this year. If we can go back and check tape, and you scoffed at me in the preseason edition, but here we are.
Yeah.
17 weeks later.
I said the Cardinals would win the NFC West, and it certainly was trending that way first half of the season, but they fell apart. I did say the 49ers wouldn't make the playoffs, though. Got that right. But I didn't expect the Rams defense to be as good as they were. And I honestly, because of that defense, I'm taking the points here with the Rams. I think that's a lot of points. What is it, 4.5, you said?
4.5, yeah.
4.5 points. And look, that last meeting between the Rams and the Seahawks, the Rams were stopped on the goal line stand at some point in that game against the Seahawks. If they convert that, they cover that 4.5-point spread in that game. Well, that's, the spread wasn't 4.5 in that game, but if it were, then they would have covered it. So, Goff or no Goff, I don't think it really matters. That Rams defense is going to be the reason why this game is close. I don't know if they win or not. I want to say Seattle wins, but I do think the Rams keep this one close. They're both excellent teams. Seattle's opponents, over the last 6 weeks, they played basically the entire NFC East, Eagles, Giants, and Washington. Plus, they played the Jets and also San Francisco and also LA. So not the best bunch of quarterbacks. So it's basically what they're doing again. They go up against either Wolford, probably Goff, but even Goff, I'm not really sold on him. So yeah, I'll take the points here with the Rams. It's just, it's two evenly matched teams, and it's really hard for me to pick a winner. So when that's the case, I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, these two teams split the season series. Rams winning in week 10, 23-16 in LA. Seahawks winning week 16, 20-9 in Seattle. I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one. I've loved that Rams defense all season, but I really just, I'm not sure they're going to be able to do enough offensively with or without Jared Goff. Especially, you know, say Goff does come back, we're looking at some rainy conditions in Seattle on Saturday. So that's not ideal for a guy dealing with a thumb injury. That could be a problem. And interestingly enough, as much as I like the Rams defense, this pick is sort of predicated on what I've seen from the Seattle defense.
Right.
They're in a much better place now than they were really at any point this season. You look back after that week 10 loss to the Rams, they were allowing 448.3 yards per game, which was, you know, a historically bad pace. They're on pace to, you know, shatter the NFL record for yards allowed. Since then, they've been third in yards allowed per game, second in pass yards per attempt, and second in sacks. Certainly the return of Jamal Adams has helped that team. The trade deadline acquisition of Carlos Dunlap has helped that team. It's just, it looks like a completely different unit, which is kind of important because I don't think, you know, I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson in that offense, but it hasn't really been clicking like it was earlier in the season. But Seahawks, you look number one in run defense. I think that'll play a role this week with a Rams team that obviously has to lean on the ground game, given its quarterback issues. And I just think with, you know, for that Rams defense, as good as they've been both against the run and against the pass, I just don't know if they're going to generate enough splash plays. Only 12% of their defensive drives end in a turnover. That's 17th in the NFL. So this isn't a team that necessarily goes out. It's not a ball hawking team. You know, they're going to take the ball away at a crazy clip. And so, I just think that Seattle's going to be able to do enough offensively. I might, total at 43. That's a low number to hit the under.
I would take the under on that. I just don't know where points come in this game. I think I think Wilson makes a couple big plays in the third or fourth quarter in the second half that allows Seattle to win this game. But again, 4.5 points is a lot. I do think that 43, I would take the under and the points. And look, Rams allow the fewest yards for pass attempts. So Seattle's going up against this really stingy pass defense. But you're right, that Seattle run defense is extremely good too. And I just don't know where you get points. I think you can get a 13-10 game.
Yeah. I mean, for the Rams, basically, they benefited from everything in that game against the Cardinals. I mean, they dominated the time of possession. They forced the turnover. But most importantly, they didn't have to deal with Kyler Murray for most of the game, dealing with the CFL quarterback. So it's just just kind of limping into the playoffs at this point. And Seattle, like I said, that defense has been good enough that I trust that they'll cover here.
Yeah, no, I agree. Want to move on to Saturday night?
Thank God, because I'm kind of sick of that matchup. So thankfully that's the last time we'll have to talk about it this year. Saturday night. This is a weird little game. We got, I think we've sort of looked ahead to this being a potential matchup a few weeks ago. And here we are. The Bucks traveling to the nation's capital face the Washington football team. Bucks. 8.5 points, I think it's up to right now. That number it seems to be climbing, though. We might be able to get it a little bit more before this closes out. So if you like the Bucks, probably jump on them now. Total at 45.5. Which way are you leaning? Washington just squeaking in, by the way. I should have got your thoughts on that whole situation.
Yeah. I think my thoughts on that Washington Giants-Eagles situation is, I mean, if you're the Giants, I like Mike Cole, our best friend and host of the spread. He had a nice tweet saying, I would feel bad for the Giants if they were in a 6-10 team. So I'm not going to sit here and cry about two C-minus teams here. And that's what Washington is. I mean, they have their strengths, which is the defense. But at the end of the day, Tampa Bay also has an extremely good defense as well. That's not just a Tom Brady-led team. That defense is extremely good. That pass rush is very good. And Washington allowed 50 sacks this season. I think at the end of the day, this game is going to be decided in the trenches. Sure, Washington has a pretty solid pass rush, but the Bucs have allowed the fourth fewest sacks. They have very strong offensive line. And I know the way to beat Tom Brady is to hit him in the mouth, make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket. But that Tampa offensive line has really helped him out this year. And he's only eaten the dirt fourth fewest times this year. So that's the difference. I think Tampa Bay blows out Washington. Their offense is extremely good. Not maybe blow up, but they win by 14 points. And I don't know where the points come from Washington. I mean, Alex Smith, he's not what he was 2 or 3 years ago. That offense is just so where do the points come from?
It's just, maybe a few weeks ago, I would have liked this pick for Washington much more. But it just feels like, offensively, obviously Alex Smith not moving around great, which is, you're going up against a Bucs defense that's second in pressure percentage, first in DVOA against the run, fifth against the pass, so a well-rounded unit. They get after it a little bit, and it's hard for me to imagine Washington putting a real dent in the scoreboard.
I want to make a bold prediction.
Sure.
But you go ahead, make your pick first. Sorry,
I'm with you. I'm gonna take the Bucs. I do think this has serious blowout potential. The one thing that does scare me though is like Washington is exactly the type of team that typically gives Tom Brady led offenses problems. I mean, you look at their ability to rush the passer, they create pressure at the fourth highest rate in the NFL, despite blitzing at the 13th highest rate. Yeah. So they don't necessarily have to send extra bodies to create that pressure. We've seen that sort of mess with Tom Brady before. Can't overlook the fact that this is in prime time, and that's been a problem for the Bucs this year. 1-3 straight up, 0-4 against the spread in prime time. You know, I know there was, you know, a lot made of that going into their most recent primetime game where they tried to tweak their schedule a little bit. So I don't know. They've come out a little bit flat in certain games, in certain big games. To their credit, they've taken care of business against some, you know, bad competition down the stretch. Tampa's 4 wins to close out the year after their week 13 bye against Minnesota, 2 games versus the Falcons, 1 against the Lions. All 5 of their losses this year have been against playoff teams. Only 1 of their wins has come against a playoff team, and that was week 6 against the Packers. Obviously, a lot has changed since then. So there are reasons to take the points here and hope for the best with Washington. But to your point, I just offensively, I think it could be a little bit of a grind for them. And I wouldn't be shocked if Tampa wins this in a blowout.
Yeah. And you look at Alex Smith. Yeah, sure. Washington is 5-1 with him as starting quarterback, but he has more interceptions than touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, 8 picks. And, you know, Tampa Bay, they have the 6th best turnover differential. So, you know, they can absolutely force some takeaways. They had the 5th most takeaways. So maybe Alex Smith throws a couple picks here. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be like a 48-10 blowout victory for the Bucs, but I do think they cover that spread, win by a couple touchdowns. Big Ronald Jones game too. Washington, their rush defense isn't as strong as their pass defense, so I think Ronald Jones, he averages 5 yards per carry. I could see the Tampa Bay really leaning on the run in this one as well.
What's your bold prediction?
Oh, that Alex Smith won't finish this game.
Oh,
I think
that's a very morbid prediction, but
I mean, the guy, again, he's been getting a lot of credit. 5-1, yeah, that's the defense against some really trash competition coming through. And what was I going to say? Yeah, that offensive line is not going to do Alex Smith any favors. Washington's allowed 50 sacks this year. Tampa pass rush, that's going to be the difference in this one.
All right, well, let's slap a bow on Saturday, move over to Sunday, where we have another 3 games. We'll start off with the 105 contest in Nashville. The Baltimore Ravens traveling to face the Titans, also laying 3.5 points. Total set at 55. Vegas expecting a shootout for this one. This is another game where we saw back in week 11, the Titans won that one 30-24. And this is also a rematch of last year's divisional round won by the Titans 28-12, sparking their deep playoff run. So there's a little bit of a revenge factor here if you're the Ravens. Yep. You think that plays a role? And which way are you leaning?
I love that this is a close game. It's two evenly matched teams, and the home team is getting points. I'm going to take the points here again with Tennessee. It's really because of I'm looking at it this way. Let's break it down. Quarterback situation. Ryan Tannehill versus Lamar Jackson. I think Tannehill's a better passer. And also in terms of the ground game, Ryan Tannehill has 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 3 games. 5 of Tennessee's last 11 touchdowns have been Ryan Tannehill rushing touchdowns. He finished the season with the same amount of rushing touchdowns as Lamar Jackson did. So maybe even on the ground game, Ryan Tannehill keeping it close with Lamar Jackson. And then in terms of running backs, you got to take Derrick Henry over J.K. Dobbins, I guess. Wide receiver threats, I like Tennessee's guys. So offensively, I really like Tennessee. And the red zone offense, number 2 in the league, clicking at a 75% rate. If Lamar Jackson makes any mistakes in this game and turns the ball over, which he probably will against the number 1 turnover differential in the NFL, which was Tennessee, then you're going to give Tennessee this short field and they're going to convert in the red zone. And I also like the fact that they're at home and getting points. Sure, Tennessee's defense isn't ideal. They're going to allow some points in this game, but I think Lamar Jackson makes some mistakes. Tennessee gets some good field position and they keep this close and they even win at home. I love Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's a great quarterback. Like, you look at that throw that he made against Houston in the overtime? Late in the game against Houston. He just launched the ball and they made an unbelievable catch. I love Tannehill and what he brings to the table, especially in the last couple of seasons. Miami could have used him in week 17.
I love Tannehill. I love Derrick Henry. I love that Tennessee offense. I hate that defense.
That defense sucks.
That defense is brutal. And so I can good faith take them in this game and hope for the best. So you late. This is interesting. From ESPN, of the 184 teams that have reached the NFL playoffs since 2006, this year's Titans team ranks 183rd in defensive efficiency. Only the 2013 Chargers were worse. Really, by any metric, they've been awful. 29th in defensive DVOA. Only the Texans, Jaguars, and Lions are worse. They don't create any pressure. 31st in pressure percentage. Tied for the most plays allowed per drive. Third most yards allowed per drive. Third worst red zone defense. So once they get in there, they seem to be worn down. It's not, they don't have the ability to bend without breaking. And, you know, on the Baltimore side, I think we might have forgot how good they are. Like they went through that rough patch early in the year, you know, whatever you sort of, everybody started to doubt them, but really since that Monday night win over Cleveland, which just like felt like a season changing win. Like, it just, I don't know, it felt like the start of them building momentum. And then, obviously, their last three games, they've played trash competition. I'll give you trash. That. But one thing they do is they beat up on bad teams. Like
Tennessee's a really good team, though.
Yeah, but not defensively.
They lost to them already once.
All right, you look at the last two most recent matchups against them, that Week 11 game, and even the divisional round last year. Like, they've had their way with them offensively, but it's just a matter of, like you said, they can't turn the ball over. Like they had, they were up 21-10 in the third quarter of that Week 11 game. And that's when turnovers became an issue. You look playoff game, they outgained them in yards per play, first downs, time of possession, really everything, but it's just mistakes. And there were some fourth downs that they didn't convert on. So I don't know, I guess I could chalk that up to a little bit of variance and, you know, hope that Baltimore turns things around this, you know, in this particular matchup, but I don't know. I just think that's Baltimore defensively. They've gotten healthier. They are number one in explosive pass rate against, so will make life a little bit difficult on Ryan Tannehill. I also think this is another situation, much like that Bills Colts game, where Ravens might be able to throw them out of their game plan a little bit, because the Titans are a team that is susceptible to giving up points early. 23rd in opponent first half points per game. Ravens, meanwhile, do a good job of holding their opponents down in the first half. First, an opponent first half points per game. So, you know, if Baltimore comes out, scores a couple early touchdowns and forces Tennessee to become one-dimensional, lean on the pass, that's sort of the path to victory, I think, if you're
Baltimore. I don't know. I don't know if that happens. The Baltimore rush defense, they're, 15th on Pro Football Focus. Middle of the pack rush defense, and middle of the pack isn't going to get the job done against Derrick Henry. Yeah, Tennessee struggled against Green Bay, and Green Bay's rush defense isn't all that great, but that's not going to work every single time. Green Bay got up, like you said, Baltimore's key to success is to get up early in Tennessee, force them to be one-dimensional, but can we really guarantee that happening, especially Lamar Jackson, so turnover-prone against the team with the best turnover differential? I just think Tennessee has Baltimore's number. Tennessee's the last team Baltimore want to face in the playoffs, I think. So the last two meetings haven't gone their way against them. I think it's and Lamar Jackson, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. He loses, there's a lot of pressure on him in this game. If he loses this game again, that's 0-3 in the playoffs. He's gonna become that guy that can't get it done in the playoffs. So that pressure is gonna be too much for him, I feel like.
Maybe. That I don't know, that defense, I can't roll with that.
I understand. Defense. I understand.
Let's move on to what is undoubtedly the worst matchup of the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Bears traveling to New Orleans. Bears just sort of backing their way into the playoffs. They'll face the Saints, who are 10-point favorites. This game, the mid-afternoon game on Sunday, so it's probably a good time to duck out to Home Depot or do whatever you got to do. Total set at 48. You see any chance of the Bears making this competitive? Because I know earlier you sort of alluded to it that they shouldn't be in the playoffs. So I don't know if maybe is that point spread scare you off though?
Yeah, I don't think so, man. Chicago has the lowest yards per play differential among all of the playoff teams. Meanwhile, Saints are fourth this season. They're a very complete team. They can beat you in many ways. Obviously, they have Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara. and then they can beat you with the Taysom Hill stuff that they pull off against their opponents. And the Bears, they just haven't beaten anybody of note. That Thursday night victory against Tampa Bay, 1-point victory at home, was a Thursday night game against a 43-year-old quarterback on 3 days rest. Their losses have come to the Colts, Rams, Saints, Titans, Vikings, and the Packers twice. They can't beat the good teams. And the Saints are one of the best in the league. So I think Chicago struggles in this one. Sure, yeah, Mitch Trubisky, they look better with him, but that Saints defense is just very complete. Elite rush defense. It's going to be a very Trubisky-centric game for the Bears, and that's never a good recipe for success. I would be much more confident if the fans were there in New Orleans in that Superdome, but I'm still fairly confident in this one.
Yeah, I really can't find any reason to take the Bears other than maybe just hoping that New Orleans comes out a little flat offensively. But I think that, like, you know, I think their upset loss to Minnesota in the playoffs last year might be, you know, might be top of mind. Like, I don't think that they're going to come in and take Chicago lightly.
No.
The Bears, they did have that little late season surge offensively, but again, that was going to factor in the level of competition there. They were beating up on some bad defenses. New Orleans, their defense for really since like the entire second half of the season, for the most, I mean, you could say the season in general, has been among the best. I mean, just talent at all three levels. So I do think they'll make life difficult on Trubisky. You know, the offense, you can, you know, obviously Drew Brees has sort of gained this dink and dunk reputation, but going into week 16, he was completing 70% of his throws in the 15 to 20 yard range.
Wow.
Second best mark in the NFL. So, you know, they're able to do some things with those intermediate routes. If Michael Thomas comes back, that's obviously a jolt for them. You just sort of cross your fingers and hope that Alvin Kamara will, you know, be medically cleared to play. But yeah, just a lot of talent on that New Orleans team. You know, maybe once they run into stiffer competition later in the playoffs, they'll have some problems. But this to me feels like a game that they should take care of business rather easily.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know you know, unless the Bears get that, they turn back the clock a couple seasons and you get, you know, a Khalil Mack strip sack or a pick six here or there. I think that's the way you win this game if you're Chicago. But I don't see that happening.
It'll be a very sad day for our very good mutual friend from Chicago, Leafy Lauren, who's a big Bears fan. And
yeah, she's not going to be too thrilled. So she
got to rake the leaves, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, just, you know, get a couple extra bottles of wine or something. tune out a little early. So, all right, this game, we'll get into it, but there was some late breaking developments while we were about to come on the air. So, Browns and Steelers, this will be the final game of the weekend, assuming it goes off without a hitch. Browns traveling to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers are 4.5-point favorites, total set at 46.5. This obviously a rematch of week 17. Tough to deduce too much from that game, though, obviously, given that Pittsburgh rested a lot of their starters, including Ben Roethlisberger. These two teams split the season series in addition to that week 17 game. The Steelers blew out the Browns in week 6, 38-7 in Pittsburgh. So the development here, though, is that Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, is among 5 positive COVID-19 tests and therefore will not serve as the acting head coach this weekend. I'm sort of just reading up on it now. Like I said, just came across. Stefanski, 2 additional members of the coaching staff and 2 players reportedly testing positive. So therefore will not be available. The Browns said that the special teams coordinator will serve as the acting head coach. So
yeah, just
a team that's in flux. And we talked about it before we came on. This Browns team has been dealing with COVID as much as anybody really over the past several weeks. I mean, they had that one game where they did not have a wide receiver, basically. And they were just forcing the ball to Austin Hooper. They had a couple issues this past week as well. So they're a team that have been battling the coronavirus and it continues into the playoffs here. Deck is stacked against them a little bit as it is, given their track record, not only in terms of their own playoff utility, but against the Steelers. So I don't know. Is this, first of all, what do you make of the news? Does that factor into your pick at all? And do you think that they could make this a competitive game?
Does Nick Chubb have COVID?
It's AFC North football.
It is AFC North football. And does Nick Chubb have COVID?
Not to my knowledge.
No. I don't think it matters.
I don't know.
As long as Chubb is there, I think the Browns are going to be able to keep this within the number. I don't know if they're going to win the game, but that's 4.5, 5 points. That's a lot of points, especially against the Steelers' rush defense that has kind of stunk lately. Since week 8, they've allowed 4.7 yards per carry. That's the 8th most in the NFL. They started the season with one of the best rush defenses in the league, and that's kind of fallen apart over the last half of the season. So then I think the Browns are really going to be able to take advantage of that. I don't think the drop-off between Mason Rudolph and Big Ben is all that much. I think Big Ben should probably consider retirement when you consider that the Steelers averaged just 6.3 yards per pass attempt this season. I think that was 30th in the league. Big Ben wasn't really doing much for that offense anyway. This is a very defensive-centric team, and their rush defense is not what it used to be in the first half of the season. I think Nick Chubb is going to be very successful in this game, and the Steelers allowed nearly 200 rushing yards against the Browns last week. I think Chubb can take over this game, keep this one close at least, because that is still a very strong pass defense that Pittsburgh has. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns win this game. A lot of people are writing them off just because Week 17 was a close one. So
it's funny. In my notes here, prior to that news breaking, just have a thing that says the biggest thing holding back the Browns might be COVID. And interestingly enough, that, you know, that remains the case, and maybe more so, because I actually, yeah, I like the Browns. I'm going to stick with the pick. Even in spite of the news, I
don't know if they win though.
No, I would consider, I don't know what the money line is, but I would consider it. Cause I just think that what we've seen from Pittsburgh over this down the stretch here, in which they've lost four or five, it speaks volumes about that offense. I mean, they're too reliant on Ben Roethlisberger right now. Given their lack of a running game. I mean, it starts up front with that offensive line. They're just not creating the running lanes. 28th in run block win rate, according to the ESPN analytics, 31st in run blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. This is a team that, you know, in the passing game, they rely on a lot of their short routes, and you've had receivers dropping balls. So it's just really no fluidity to that Steelers offense. And I know they had that comeback against Indianapolis, but you know, that also was an indictment on the Colts' inability to come up with a stop. So I think that Pittsburgh could continue to have some problems offensively. Meanwhile, Browns, you know, you mentioned Nick Chubb and that rushing attack. And again, it starts up front. I mean, that Browns offensive line has been really good. Maybe the best offensive line in the NFL outside of, I'd put probably the Packers up in that category as well. They're number one in pass blocking and run blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. Steelers, meanwhile, 20th in run stop win rate. So, maybe the Browns just line it up and jam it down their throat for 60 minutes, in which case you sort of take away Pittsburgh's biggest strength, being their pass rush. And this could be another week where Steelers injuries at the second level. I mean, they've been banged up. Bud Dupree, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, like they across the board just been losing linebackers, going up against a team that likes to run the ball doesn't bode well. So I'm sure, I get scared off a little bit by that news today that all of a sudden there's, you know, special teams coach is going to be pulling the reins, calling the shots. The Browns haven't won a game at Heinz Field since 2003, 0-17 straight up, 5-11-1 against the spread. This being their first playoff game since 2002, ending the longest active streak in the NFL. We don't know how Baker Mayfield is going to respond to the big moment at the NFL level. So there's just a lot of questions about the Browns, but I just think from a personnel standpoint, this has the potential to be a bad matchup for Pittsburgh. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland wins this game.
No, I wouldn't either, but I just think being at home, Baker Mayfield, maybe like his first playoff game, maybe the moment gets to him, but I do think that rest has been a big factor for Pittsburgh. They had their bye week in week four, and then in
didn't really have the bye week. I mean, their own COVID issues were through their schedule all out of whack.
Yeah, and in December they had 5 games in between December 2nd and December, sorry, 4 games between December 2nd and December 21. It was just like 4 games over a 20-day span and 3 games in an 11-day span. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of football since December. They played 6 games since December 2nd. So, and they haven't had their bye week since week 4. So I think that's kind of what's happening with Pittsburgh here. It's kind of why they rested Big Ben in week 17. But they're exhausted. They could have really used that bye week in the playoffs, number 1 seed, but they didn't get it. And I think that's going to hurt them. Maybe not this week, but definitely in the divisional round.
Yeah, this feels like a field goal game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, at the end of the day, it feels like a field goal game.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that Rams Seahawks scene. Divisional rivals, field goal game. You're giving me points, I'm going to take them.
Do you want to give a Super Bowl pick? Should we really go on a limb here in addition to these games? We kind of touched on this last week, I guess, about whether there are any teams where you could find some value with Super Bowl futures. I think it's pretty clear who the 2 best teams in the NFL are. Like, I don't think it's not by accident that the Chiefs and Packers locked up the number 1 seed in their respective conferences and have the bye.
I think Kansas City is going to shoot themselves in the leg by giving themselves so much time off week 17 and also having a bye week this week. I think they're going to shoot themselves in the leg, losing the divisional round.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction. Super Bowl pick from the AFC. I'm going to go with Tennessee going to the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. That's my Super Bowl prediction.
So who's winning?
I would go with Tampa Bay.
All right. Interesting.
I just think it's going to be hard for the Saints to beat the Bucs 3 times in 1 season if they match up. So I'll take the Bucs there. I think the Packers, they're a good team. Yeah, they can also go to the Super Bowl, but I don't know. It's so hard. There's a lot of good teams out there. But Bucs over Titans, that's my bold Super Bowl prediction.
I think the Bucs get past this week versus Washington and then get punched in the mouth by Green Bay. I think the Packers are going to win it. And I'm not just saying that because our own Mike Cole is a Packers fan and just had a child. And I would like for that child to be welcomed to the world with a Packers Super Bowl parade.
Yeah.
Or a virtual parade, whatever the celebration may be. But yeah, I think Green Bay has just talent at a lot of the key positions. Left tackle, cornerback. They get a little bit of a pass rush. Good, one of the best receivers in the NFL. Good running game. And then obviously the quarterback. So I don't know. I think the stars are sort of aligning for them. AFC, I feel like the Chiefs are the very chalky pick. So I'll stay away. I'll say maybe Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo gets in there.
Buffalo's becoming a chalky pick, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'd like the. So if we're going off the radar a little bit, you went Tennessee. I'll go on the other side of that matchup. I like Baltimore.
All right.
So I think they're getting hot at the right time. But either way, I think whoever gets to the Super Bowl loses to Green Bay. So there you have it.
Fair enough. No, I agree with you. I think that Tampa Bay versus Green Bay, which could happen next week, that matchup will determine who goes from the NFC. Yeah. And then there's the Saints too. I mean, but again, Saints beating the Bucks 3 times in 1 season. I don't know. It'll be tough.
That in Saints traveling to Lambeau could be an issue for them as well.
That as well. And then you have Seattle too. But I mean, that defense has its flaws. I don't think they do anything.
Well, we'll see. We'll come back next week.
I don't think they'll go that deep.
We'll come back next week and reevaluate.
Yeah, we'll probably have Washington versus Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get the hell out of here. This has been the Super Wildcard edition, Super Wildcard Weekend edition of The Spread. I'm Ricky Doyle, joined as always by Andre Cacciatore, and we hope Mike and the baby are doing well. We send our best not just him, to his wife Caroline as well. I mean, that's clearly she did the heavy lifting there, so certainly should have given her the first tip of the cap. But seriously, hope they hope everything is going well there. And if Mike does come back for the Super Bowl, we will welcome him with open arms. But until then, we will ride off into the sunset and return for the divisional round next week.